All right, good morning. Glad you guys are here. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And right in front of you, if you don't have a Bible, a pew Bible is page 879. So we're going to hopefully finish the series today in 2 Timothy of being an effective leader for God in all realms of life. So don't think just, I mean, obviously Paul's talking to Timothy as a pastor, but as a parent, as anyone, if you want to be effective and influence people around you, these are the principles that we must have in our life. And the first one we talked about was being empowered by God's grace. So let's read verse 1. Therefore, my son, be strong. And the word strong means empowered in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Right? So we talked about different graces. I'm not going to go back into it all, but supreme grace, God is just a gracious God. The rain falls on the just and unjust. Talked about saving grace, and if you're not saved today, you got to be saved by God's grace, not by works, not by going to church, not being a good person. It was cool this week. Somebody was walking by on Tuesday. Ken and I were out there, and Ken started talking and brought him inside here, share the grace of God, and he professed Christ. And unfortunately, he works at night, and he has to work, so hopefully we get him discipled. But always remember, he goes on to talk about saving grace, and then he talks about sustaining grace and serving grace. And you need continue to be empowered by God's grace to keep serving when you don't see any results. Or actually, you see the opposite. It actually gets worse. Remember, we looked at the life of Joseph. God gave him favor, grace. I mean, he was thrown in the prison. He was accused of rape, all these things. Right? So it's only God's grace during that time that you're going to keep going on, even when things even get worse, and you're still following God. It's not going to get better. If it's the circumstances, then we're always going to quit. Right? Oh, this is not working. And then the second thing we looked at, you have to extend our knowledge to others. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit or entrust to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. So obviously we have to pass on our faith. It starts in a home. And remember, we talked about it's not just what we're teaching, it's how we're teaching. We're supposed to be gentle, not argumentative, you know, yelling at our kids, you should be doing this. And like, that's all they see is the attitude. They don't see what you're telling them. It's the same thing with anything, right? Right? So we've got to pass on our faith. We got to be gentle. We got to be long-suffering. And then we talked about, and we have to endure hardness, verse 3. Thou shalt endure. It means the idea of stay under hardness. That's suffering evil as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And listen, the world's not easy. Being a Christian is not easy. You know, Jesus said, if the world hate you, we know that they hated me before they hated you. So there's going to be hard times in your life. It's going to come. George Martin, a great friend, used to be here, moved to Florida. He had a stroke. He lost vision in one eye. His hand is weak. His leg is weak. He used to Uber driver and witness to everybody. And he's kind of like, oh, it's so frustrating. I can't do that. And yesterday he sent me Charles Spurgeon, a little thing, and it kind of fits, so I just want to read some of it, not all of it. And this is, again, him who is struggling in his health. Charles Spurgeon said, our Heavenly Father sends us frequent troubles to try our faith. It is a poor faith which can only trust God when friends are true, when the body's full of health, and the business is profitable. But he said, but the true faith which holds our Lord faithful when friends are gone, when the body is sick, when spirits are depressed, and the light of our Father's countenance is hidden. That's when you feel like God is so far away, even though it's not true, but we feel that. He goes on to say, a faith which can say in the direst times, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's in Job. Goes on to say, the Lord afflicts his servants to glorify himself, for he is greatly glorified in the graces of his people, which are his own handiwork. When tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, the Lord is honored by those growing virtues. We shall never know the music of a harp if the strings were left untouched, nor enjoy the juice of a grape if we're not trodden by the winepress, nor discover the sweet perfume of cinnamon if we're not pressed and beaten, nor to feel the warmth of a fire if the coals were not utterly consumed. Last sentence, he says, the wisdom and power of our great workman are discovered by his trials, through which he has vessels of mercy permitted to pass. Present afflictions tend also to heighten future joy. I was watching a little football game yesterday, and there was a running back on the Kentucky football team. They're playing Georgia, and this kid at 12 years old had no parents. They were both in prison. And then he was in a foster home. And now he's playing football, and he said, "I would never change that for anything because it made me who I am today." We always want to run from hardships, but the very hardships, if we take it to the right to God, we actually get stronger through it. And then God has something for you. He brought you through this for this, right? So we have to endure hardness. Then the last thing we're talking about is do not entangle ourselves with the things to distract us from God and his work. Look at verse 4. "No man in war entangle himself with the affairs or the transactions of this life that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." Go to verse 14 real quick. "Of the things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." So the word entangled there has to do with, weaving together like you're, those who make a blanket, take a bunch of yarn, bring it together. So that's the idea. He's saying, look, you can't get so entangled with this world and serve God. It's not going to work. And all of us do at times, right? Verse 4 reminds us we're not here to please ourselves, but to please God. So I want to focus on that for a little time now. Remember Jesus said in John 8:29, he said, I'm always here to do the things that please my Father. And that's really my heart, is like, I really want to please God. And I think all of us who are Christians, we're like, we really want to please God. So I want to make this statement. The way to please God is to yield to the Spirit, and then, let me rephrase that. The way to please yourself is to please God. Because the result is you'll be pleased. Galatians chapter 5, 22-23 is the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's love, that's unconditional love, joy, that inner rejoicing, the peace, that inner quietness, the long-suffering, enduring under pressure, gentleness, that's the idea of being kind. Goodness means ready to do good, faithful, talk about faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. So no law, we can make all the laws, and Jeff did a great job of the men's breakfast, by the way. I told him to bring the message, Matthew 23. No law can produce that. You can have all the lists you want. That'll never produce this. It's just yielding to the Spirit. So as we yield to the Spirit and we please God, we automatically will be pleased. We think it's the opposite, though. Like, I just want to do this. Don't do that. Just surrender to God. It's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? In the end, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Psalm 37, verse 4, right? We switch that. We're really duped in our mind. So I just say to you in your life right now, whatever it is, just surrender it to God. Say, Lord, I want to do your will, whatever it is in this area. You'll be pleased in the end. Now, let me give you five main ways I saw in the scriptures that will please God. Now, obviously, only through Jesus is he pleased to get to heaven. All right, so the first one kind of deals with that. The first one, five main ways. Believe in the supreme God and trust him by faith for salvation and rewards. All right, believe in the supreme God. We're going to put the verses on the screen for you. Hebrews 11:6. "For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." So the first thing, you've got to believe there's God, right? This is how we take everybody. Do you believe there's a God? The person says, yeah, I believe in God. All right, now let's go to the Bible. Is the Bible the word of God? And if not, I got to show them, okay, the Bible's the word of God. Okay, now I got to go in and say everything inside of it is true. All right, God loves you, you're a sinner, you need to get saved. Now you have to keep growing with that. That's how it starts. And the cool thing is, it says, "And he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So it pays to serve God. A lot of people don't think so because we have the wrong concept, like, God's trying to kill my life, I can't have no joy. First John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." They're not trying to hold you back from joy. They're actually stopping you from destroying your life. They're the boundaries for safety. They're not a killjoy. Satan used that at Eve, right? God's holding out on you. That was his big ploy in the beginning. Don't touch that tree because God doesn't want the best for you. It was a lie. The second thing, Now, let me actually talk about the word please there real quick, because there's two different Greek words that I found. The first please here in Hebrews 11:6 means to be totally gratified or totally satisfied. So God is filled with joy and satisfied when we believe in him and we serve him diligently. He is so pleased. Now, just think about that on a human level. If you have kids and they're obeying, they're doing the right thing, you're like, wow, you're so satisfied. But when they're doing the wrong thing, they are not, you are not satisfied. And when we're doing the wrong thing, God is not satisfied. The second thing is we need to run from sin. We need to run from sin. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 5 says this, furthermore, that we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you, so we call attention to you by the Lord Jesus, that as he received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. Again, this is talking to Christians now. It's only through Christ that we please to get to heaven. So we should abound more and more. Verse 3, for you know that the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that's the practical part, right? To be set apart, to practically live holy by the Spirit using the word, that you should abstain from fornication. It's where we get porneia from, pornography. Sex outside of marriage is a general term. For every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. That's just a big word. It means passion of lust. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. So that's how the world lives. Because you want to please God, you got to walk in holiness. And listen, it's not easy. Teenagers, college, everything is like sex sells. Millions and billions of dollars of pornography. We're in a society that's like that. We have to watch. The word please here is aresko. It means to be agreeable. So the idea is we're being agreeable with God in running from sin. And he is pleased by that. It's the idea behind this verse. The third one, be concerned about souls being saved. 1 Corinthians 10:33 says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So God is so pleased when you are sharing your faith and you're trying to reach people for Christ. A great verse, 1 Corinthians 1:21 says this, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The main purpose Jesus came was to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke 19:10. We're left as the light now. He's gone. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We're left behind to go share the gospel, to be the light. Right? We are the light. It's so important. The other day, Linda said a person came in, and she keeps her Bible right there, and she was a Christian, and she saw the Bible, and she just started crying. And she said, you know, I'm so glad, Linda, you're a light here in the midst of UNH. We really need this here. So wherever you are that light, right? Whether it's your neighborhood, your work, whatever. Have you witnessed to your coworkers? No, seriously. Like, we may know all this Bible knowledge, but at the end, are you witnessing to people around you? Obviously, showing Christ through our love, but are we speaking to them? Are we loving them through their hard times? And showing them Christ. If you are so and I are so caught up in all our world, we're entangled with the affairs of this world. We are not doing, this is what he's saying. We're so caught up in this and trying to get my house and my car and another this and that. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. But if we're so entangled with those things and we're forgetting to be the light, we will not be effective in reaching people around us. That's what he's saying. All right, quickly, I had to move on here. Number four. So believe in the supreme God, run from sin, be concerned about souls being saved. Look to build up weak saints, other believers who are struggling. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 3 says, when we then that are strong, he's talking about spiritually, ought to bear. I looked at that word bear, it means to lift, to carry, to help sustain the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So watch this. We're supposed to get filled up with Jesus every day and look to pour out. I've been a Christian. I was saying to somebody, I've been a Christian for 40 years. And I've heard this, being a pastor, being a deacon, every church is like, No one says hi to me. No one reaches out to me. It's like nowhere in the Bible does it ever say, it says go and serve. Go and minister. It never says sit back and wait for people to come to you. So we have to rethink, get them out of self-pity. No, you get up and go and be a friend. You go and serve. Stop being a self-pity party. It'll destroy your life. Get out of that. That's like people who are always looking to always take, and they're not givers. Nowhere does the Bible teach that. It's more blessed to give than receive. So don't fall into that trap. And don't put guilt on other people. Get up. Fill up with Jesus every day, and it'll just pour out of you. You won't see what happened. Here's our problem. We don't feed on the word enough, and we just nibble at the word, nibble at walking with Jesus, and when we're not satisfied. So now we got to go to the world. We got to go to this person, that person, that person, and they have to fulfill me now. That's exactly what happened. But when you fill up with Jesus every day as a Christian, you're just going to pour that out. So the problem, the root problem is we're not filling up with Jesus every day. We're not filling up with this word. That's the problem. That's the root. That's how you're going to fix it. Like if you're so excited, you're going to get married. I'm so excited to tell everybody, or you got to, whatever you have, you're so excited about it, right? If you're not excited about Jesus, then you're going to look to get something excited about, and you're going to go to other people to try to find it. And you're going to blame everybody why you are where you are. Don't do it. Sorry, a little tangent there. Come back. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And then it says, for even Christ pleased not himself. I mean, he could have just stayed in heaven and said, I'm not coming down to die for these people. I'm not going to die as a criminal. I'm going to be mocked and spit upon. Forget those people. But as is written, the reproach of them that reproach thee. Now, helping other people. Again, there's this, I can't go into all this, but you can't enable people. So I'm not saying being so burnt out to help everybody that, no, I'm not saying that. There's times where you can say, you have to say no. I had to learn that. You can't enable people. So there's a whole thing in that. But I'm just saying in general, we're looking to encourage, right? Now, let me give you a couple examples that I have all the time kind of ministering to people. One is they're struggling with guilt that they've already confessed. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So somebody comes to me and says, I'm still struggling with this, or somebody's putting on this, I'm already forgiven that. It's like, you're forgiven. I don't care if people keep putting it on you. They're wrong. God forgave you. You get up and you move forward. Nobody's perfect in this place. We're all going to. So if you're confessed up, right, with God, go forward. Doesn't matter if people are still putting on you the past. The second thing is that people are just overwhelmed with situations, and you got to take that person to trust God with it, not you. Psalm 118, verse 8, which is the actual middle verse of the whole Bible, it says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, not on you, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah has everlasting strength. I don't. You don't. So get people, I just have people, memorize this verse. Go to this, go to God with it. The last thing real quick is sacrificial giving. God is pleased when you give. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 through 19 says this, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that's the area of Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once again unto my necessities. Not because I desire to give. Paul said, I don't want your money. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So when you give, one of the things is you're building up a heavenly bank account. The second thing is, but I have all, and should I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which you sent me. So Paul's needs were met. And then he says, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So he's saying, when you're giving, God is pleased. And then the result of that to us, my God shall supply all your needs, not wants, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So the context of that is all giving. It's more blessed to give than receive. Again, we're duped in that. I was talking to a police officer this Thursday at the Green for like 20 minutes. Just talking about, we were talking about fitness and all this kind of stuff. Then I slowly just start bringing Bible verses in, you know, how you witness to somebody, you know. And we were talking about this and how, you know, about being a giver and not a taker and all these people that are coming. You know, by the way, I got to be careful, a little soapbox here. I don't blame anybody trying to get into this country. I don't blame anybody trying to come here. But there's a legal way to do it, right? And some of you sitting here have done it that way. But eventually you promise to take care of everybody. Eventually you can't do it. That's socialism. Eventually you eliminate the middle class. You just have the rich and the poor. Go to some of these countries where they do it. Some of those people coming here say, we don't want this. we don't want this. So we can help people, but eventually you got to teach them to fish, not keep giving them fish. Not going to help them in the end. You're not going to help them. So this idea of giving, you know. And this person I was talking to, he said, I came over here as 11 years old from another country, and I know what it means not to eat. But he's worked hard. He's been a police officer now for 10 years. And he says, look, I'll be the first one to help, you know, somebody. But again, this total, I was listening to Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he says, this is not theology. He says, we're raising up a generation of wimps. Right? Not working hard. You know, that's this, and this country is going that way. And what made this country great, again, make sure Jesus is greater than America in your mind, by the way. It's not America. It's Jesus. But it is hard work, right? And you work for something and you get it. It's called sowing and reaping. You can't sow nothing and reap something. Doesn't make sense. And you violate these principles. So listen, God is going to do what he pleases. I found this verse in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. We know that. But it shall accomplish that which I please. I always looked at a verse like the word of God, you know. I was like, wait, it accomplishes what I please. And it shall prosper to the thing whereunto I sent it. So I thought to myself, okay, we're supposed to please God. So the next time I talk, I read something, go somewhere, do something, am I pleasing God doing that? That's where this practical part comes now. Am I going to please God or am I going to please myself? And if we please God, there's going to be a reward. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I mean, obviously I know there's struggle in the world, but like when God's on your side, it doesn't matter who's against you. John MacArthur writes this, many Christians succumb to the temptation, become more concerned about pleasing their fellow workers, neighbors, and their friends than about pleasing the Lord. And for the same reason, many pastors fall into the trap of wanting to please their congregations. And I know for that, for a fact, I've been doing this for almost 25 years now, and I've been guilty of that. I'm doing less of that. Or their communities more than they please the Lord. Their desire inevitably is to lead to moral and spiritual decline when you're looking to please others and not God. Because pleasing the world, including worldly Christians, and it's so true, like people will come in here and they oh, can you have this for me? You have this for me? And it's all about them. You know? And it's about, you don't have that? Oh, yeah, I'm going to try to get that so they could stay. I'm telling you, like, I'm just being honest. We do that with our kids, like, right? You got to be careful. This is a great quote. He says, including worldly Christians, demands compromise of God's truth, God's standards, and personal holiness. It demands forsaking Christ as our first love. And then I thought about it. Here, Timothy is the pastor at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was known. You go back to the Ephesians. They were known for their love. But 40 years later, Jesus would rebuke the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. For what? You left your first love. Now, we've been here 25 years, and praise God, we haven't left our first love. I'm thinking, like, only 15 more years, that's 40 years. That's exactly what can happen. Revelation 2, 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have someone against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlesticks. Not talking about losing your salvation, talk about your effectiveness. And if you follow the history out in there, by the 5th century, they were declining. And then who reigns there today? Islam reigns there today. Now, Jesus said probably some of the hardest things. Where Jeff was talking about this. I mean, when I look at the Bible, Jesus said some of the hardest scriptures. But he was the most loving, compassionate, but he was truthful. He was honest. He hated hypocrites. So I want to turn there. So go with me. Hold your finger here. I'm not going to finish today. I see that happening already. Luke chapter 9. I just want to read this text. It's page 761 in the Pew Bible, if you're turning there, 761. Look at verse 57. He said, it came to pass that as they went in the way, and they're actually, so the text is they were going to Jerusalem, okay? A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. Let me stop there for a second. Who here as a Christian is like, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. We really have that intention. He says, okay, you want to? Let's see. He says, okay. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of all air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was homeless. Right? So what's he saying? If you want to follow me, you're going to have to give up the comforts of home. That idea that I just want comfort, that's what he's saying. Not that you can't live somewhere. But it's all about comfort to me. Next one. Verse 59. He said unto another, follow me. And this seems really hard, but he said to me, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But I don't think the father was dead yet. I think he was just staying home to take care of him to some degree until he dies. That's my take on it. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Let the spiritual dead, the dead bury the dead. Now, I'll give you maybe an example. My mother, thank God I led her to the Lord before she died. But my family, prior, they were trying to stop my Christianity. I've talked to you about my grandmother. I'd go over how she'd pull out articles. Look, this guy trusted in the Lord and let their kids starve. She'd get these extreme things that she would show to me. But I had to say to myself, you know what? I have to please God and go serve God. I can't let my family stop me. That's what he's saying. You can't let anybody stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And sometimes I'm not going to do that because this is going to happen if I do that. Then I'm going to, and that's exactly what happens. We start pleasing them and compromising this. You always put the church before the family. I'm sure you heard that. And I said, I put Jesus first. It has nothing to do with the church. And that's what this whole idea of entangling yourselves with the world. I know it's so hard. We're not saying ignore those people. Now, when I first got saved, I just took out all the guns and shot them all. I said, hey, you got to get saved, you know. And I go back and I did all those things. But then I learned more grace as time went on. Then he says, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and look back, is fit for the kingdom. Again, this is not talking about salvation. When you think about it, if you're running a race and you keep looking back, you're not going to win. So this idea here, you know, he's saying, serve me now. You know, you can't have divided attention. I'm going to Jerusalem now. You could come in. It was physically, you know. No, just wait. I'll be there. We say this, Lord, I'll serve you, Lord. You know, when I finish this, I just got to get through this first, and I'll really serve you. I mean, we all have done it in a small way. As soon as this is over, I'll really devote myself to you. That's a tough text. But he's going to give you the power to you know, listen, he's not saying neglect anything in your life. He's saying you put me first, you please me. All those things will take care of themselves. And some won't like it. But we should be persecuted for the truth, right? Not because we're gossipers, we're murderers, we're backbiters, we're liars, we're thieves. Peter said. Corrie ten Boom, remember she was in the concentration camp with her sister. Her sister died in there. Yeah. She said this, if Satan cannot get you to do bad as a Christian, he will get you to be so busy you cannot serve God. That's the truth. He'll get you so busy doing all these other things. It's the same result. I'll give you an example. I like to organize. So I'll start a project. I'll go in there and start organizing like my general things. I'm going to go organize the garage, right? And then I get caught up with all the screws and the bolts and I start separating them. Before you know it, I forgot the general thing that I was doing. So let's not forget the general thing while we're here. That's all I'm trying to say. Let's say, don't be entangled with this world. Now go back to verse 14. I'm just going to finish this point today and we'll do the last two. Not next week. I won't be here next week. You still come. Luke's going to preach. I'm going to see my daughter and her son-in-law. That's their anniversary. We're going to watch our grandson. We're just going away for the weekend. We'll be back. So verse 14, back in this text, and it talks about, let's just read it again. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive or pursue, not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So pastors, Christians, we can get distracted over the main teachings of the scripture and fall into these arguments. And I don't want to go through all of them, but some people are like, they get off and, you know, I'll just make up one. Like the earth is round or it's flat. And then people, these Christians get off in the flat earth thing. And it becomes a major thing. I had one Christian come over my house with all these charts and everything else, and they're so fixated on that. It's like, you're going to go and tell somebody the earth is flat and try to witness to them? It's not going to work. And I can give you other illustrations. That's what just came to my head. Let me tell you something. The public schools, they teach you in first grade, second grade, third grade, evolution, high school, college. I remember being in college, and they were showing this movie how these animals were turning to this animals. And I'm like, what? I said, where's all the transitional fossils? So they just teach it like it's science. We're in physics class. This is not science. This is faith. I believe God created. You believe in the beginning was a rock or a one little thing that went bang. And you say, you got all these transitional, where all the transitional fossils from this and that? Like, they have no answers for those. I was telling these people, it's like, this is ridiculous. This is not science. You got to stand up. I mean, Hitler said this, give me a child when he was young and I will have him for life. If someone hears something long enough, loud enough, and often enough, he will believe it. And that includes you and me. We can be deceived. So this leads me to watch who you hang out with, what you watch, what you listen to, what you read, why, what you're on YouTube, these kids doing these dares and dying. That's a big influence today is the computer, right? Before we didn't have that kind of stuff. But today, at your fingertips is the world. Proverbs 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge. And that includes all our resources, all of our stuff. Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship. It means it's the idea of, you know, partner with an angry man, with a furious man, or hot-tempered. Thou shalt not go. Well, why? Verse 25. Lest I learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You hang around somebody that does something, eventually they're going to affect you. You say, not me. I'm strong. Nope. This is for everybody. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. Be not unequally yoked together. It means participate, be partners with unbelievers. Now, we're supposed to reach unbelievers, but not partnership in marriage, in business, in worship. Well, they can come here, but I tell people, get out of lost churches. Get out of churches that preach prosperity. I don't, the Bible says, get out of that. But we still have to reach those people. But in the back of your mind, when you're with those people, I want to reach them for Christ. Not that you're quoting Bible verses all the time. But if you don't have that, you're just going to hang with them, you're going to end up doing what they do. I don't care who you are, how strong you are. And then it goes on. What fellowship hath righteousness with that? So it's the opposites, right? What communion hath light with darkness? The opposite. What concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? That's another word for the devil. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement does the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God, right? We have the Holy Spirit in us. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk of them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out, or the idea is to escape from among them, and be ye separate. And that word separate means to set up, to set apart boundaries. I was telling somebody the other day, you got to set up boundaries. Because in the middle of something, when your flesh is weak, you're going to do it. I'm going to do it. We've got to set up those boundaries. Because no one's strong enough. The devil is very clever. And I love verse 18. Most people don't quote this verse, but I like this verse because it says, I will be a father. God's saying, I will take care of you. I will bring that person to you. I will do that. You just follow my ways. I'll provide in my time. I had this guy want to start a business, and I said, is that person a Christian? Oh, yeah, yeah. They talked themselves into it. Person wasn't. They ended up dividing that whole thing. Don't fool yourself into something. Don't do it. Now, let me give you a couple examples, and I'm going to close. So one of the great examples of being deceived, and I thought, how in this world could have happened, is Barnabas. Barnabas went on these missionary journeys with Paul, reaching the Gentiles. But then, as the Gentiles came, the Jews came from James, and he's with the Gentiles, he stopped eating with the Gentiles. It's like, what? How did that happen? Barnabas? Listen to the text, Galatians 2:11-13. When Peter was come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to his face, because he was to blame. So Peter obviously was involved in this. For before certain came from James, they're talking about the Jews from Jerusalem, he, Peter, did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them, people, not God, which were of the circumcision, the Jewish, right? And then verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with this dissimulation or hypocrisy. See, when people pressure you, you end up, I'm not going to eat with those people. Listen, or if God created everyone, and everyone's created in the image of God, and then you become a child of God, you better not be prejudiced towards anyone. And I hate cliques. People say, oh, there's cliques. Even in the church, there's cliques. Like, get out of those things. Reach out to other people. Stop being comfortable. We do have comfortable. We want to come. I want to be with these people, and that's it. Don't do that. Reach out. We get in that comfort zone. We're afraid. We're afraid of these people instead of fearing only God. So no matter how spiritual you are, be careful what you listen to, who you hang with, YouTube, all those things. And when we get stressed out as Christians, our tendency is to go back to the things when we were in the world. Whatever those things are for you. So we have to filter everything that comes in, we listen to through the Word of God first. And I'll end with this illustration. Think about what a filter is. What is a oil filter, air filter? It stops the contaminants going in so that machine or whatever can run correctly. So I looked at my filters on the Prius the other day, and thank God for YouTube. Because it tells you how to get to everything instead of taking it for $179 an hour to the dealer. So the air filter, one of the air filters besides the engine, is in the glove compartment. And you have to get the glove compartment down, and then you pull it out. And I pulled that cabin filter out. It was so dirty. Leaves in there, everything. It was blocking the airflow. I just took it out, blew it all out, put it back in. So that air filter is God's Word. We got to put everything through that first. Or this machine isn't going to run right. Eventually it's going to get clogged up. And next week or the week after, we're going to talk about, Paul goes on to talk about God wants to use clean vessels fit for the master's use. And we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your Word. It's so powerful. First of all, everyone with their head bowed, their eyes closed, just bow your head. It's about you and Jesus, not the person sitting next to you, not me. The first thing I always ask is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you born again? It's not something you do in a sense of, I go to church, I've been baptized. It has nothing to do, that's works. You're not good enough to get to heaven. You're a sinner that has to pay a wage that is going to send you to hell. But Jesus loved you so much, he died for you. But you must make a decision to turn from what you're trusting in. It's called repentance. And turn, accept Jesus Christ only as your Savior. You're here today, maybe you're watching. Say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm truly saved or not. Listen, I want to pray for you. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Maybe you're here. No, you don't have to raise your hand, but listen, I see the hand, sir. Put it down. Anybody else? Father, pray for that one. Others here, please, may you open their eyes, take the blinders off, that they would truly accept the grace of God only, and that you would forgive them of their sin, and begin to live for you and die to themselves. And what a great life it is being a Christian. Not easy. There's hardships, but the hardships because we follow you. So, Father, help each one of us to be empowered by grace, to keep, you know, pouring on our faith in our home, other people, just keep sharing Christ. No one's perfect. Help us not to get so entangled with this world, all the stuff. Help us to endure, not give up. We just thank you for that you never give up on us, and just pray that we'd all go forward by God's grace and strength using his Word and bring everything through the filter of God, his Word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I'll see you in a couple weeks.